Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today on Tuesday Tales number 8, which is episode 52 of the podcast, I discuss a magic user character, Elrad Q. Huddleston. But before I get into that, I just want to say thank you to everyone who's called in and listened and applauded all of my episodes. The rate of growth in the recent weeks of my podcast is amazing. I'm already at 2,907 total plays with an average of 55.9 plays an episode. I'm going to hit 60 plays an episode average easily after I upload this next episode. My episode 0 has 90 plays of all things. I've only got one episode that's less than 40 plays. It's sitting around 36 or 38, something like that. And all the rest are 40 and above, with several in their 50s and 60s, at least four with 70 plays, and my episode 1 has 85 plays of all things. That just is amazing to me and an indication that I'm on the right track with the podcast. I appreciate all your thoughts and ideas and suggestions, and if there's any particular topic you want me to address, call in and let me know. I'll be touching on those things in Saturday's scrawl, so that'll give me a few days to think about things. Now, I will have a regular episode up on Thursday, which I'll get out before I head off to UConn over in Ypsilanti, Michigan. But I'll be at the con for Saturday. So Saturday's scrawl, I haven't quite worked out what I'm going to do for that, whether I'll interview some people at the con or just give my thoughts about the con. Unless you've got some ideas for what you'd like to see from somebody who's at a convention, and I'll post up that episode. It'll be my third attempt, I believe, at putting out an episode straight from my phone. I've got a good plan. I should have good reception in a college town after all, so I don't think I'll have any problem getting it uploaded as long as I get a good signal from within the hotel. So look for that episode coming out sometime Saturday. I'll squeeze that in before, between, or after games I run or games I play. So now on to today's episode. Another character from my brother's ongoing campaign is Elrad Q. Huddleston, a 7th level human magic user. Most of his stats are pretty mediocre, but he has a 17 intelligence. I think that's perhaps the best magic user ability I've rolled, and we're probably 4d6 drop the lowest would be my guess on that. Now, my brother's campaign map is about the size of Western Europe. To the north are plains and hills, and either side are huge forests and mountains, and to the south is an ocean. And on the coast, he opened up a new area for his campaign for us to muck around in, and we made new characters. Now, I don't recall all the characters I've ever created, and I'm not sure who all the players were, but I know that one of the players was from our days with the Holmes Blue Box while we were using that and waiting for each of the AD&D manuals to come out. They moved to our town just before 9th grade, and at the end of 9th grade they moved away. And there were three brothers, the two older brothers. One was a year ahead of me, and the other was in the same grade as my brother Robert and I. They both ended up at the same place where I went to college. Bob must have stopped in at our house to play, and he created a dwarf, and I'll always remember the name he came up with, Thaddeus Rockholler, Dwarven Fighter. And I'm sure there was a cleric, and I believe a druid, and two or three others. And I actually tracked down which notebook I had all these character sheets in, so I found some names that I hadn't recalled, which was very interesting. And now, as I shuffle some papers and record this, we'll see what all we have here. Well, in our adventures, we ended up on some sort of an island, and we fought caterwauls, giant toads, lizard men, a crocodile, and at one point, a catoblapus. And if you're not familiar with that creature, it's from real-world mythology, and it's a creature that's so ugly that if you look at it or it looks at you, you die. There's Thaddeus Rockholler, another PC in the party named Elvin, another named Bill, another named Everd, and another named Jorn. But I don't know who played them. Those are notes from long ago without marking who had what. I don't know. Elrad ended up being a 7th level magic user, and he actually had several henchmen that I had forgotten till I found the character sheets. He had lots of different spells available to him. He did quite a few things. He was paying a shipwright to build a ship, and he hired a crew. And my brother let one segment spells be cast by a magic mouth. Elrad had a staff with a shield spell that would pop up when he said staff, a hat with sleep that would cast sleep when he said hat, a belt buckle with sleep that would cast sleep when he said belt, and on the belt pouch, one that said levitate, and another would say stop thief. Interesting. I forgot that we got to do that. That makes that an overpowered spell. We had fun with those. And among the henchmen, he hired Fighter, a young woman, Feta Blue Boots. I love that name. Feta Blue Boots. And he hired a middle-aged illusionist, Illid Lightstep. Oh, Alaric, a half-elven cleric magic user. That was a good combination. He was like 4th level cleric, 3rd level magic user. So that's a pretty dang tough henchman. And a fighter henchman, Alfred Longspar. I love the names my brother comes up with. They're quite evocative. On this island, we ended up having an adventure on this island, and we made friends with the tribe that lived on the island. They had a lower technology level than the people on the coast, and Elrad, with his high intelligence, had a lot of extra languages he could learn. And way back in the day, with extra languages, we didn't always use those for the humans. We had all these slots, and then you had to find a language to learn. And rarely did we start with more than common and alignment tongue. And we never really used alignment tongue, so I'm not sure why we even used that. And I guess druid language for the druids and thieves' cant for thieves. But as part of cementing our alliance, Elrad married a native woman, Dana, and they ended up having twin boys that were fraternal twins, Elamar and Elramir. And so we had some sort of a base or something. I don't remember the details. That's been a long time ago, and we did a lot of play in a short period of time and didn't get back to wrapping up where we were. We had lots of plans, I remember, but I don't remember what all those were. Let's see. The tribe is the Nom tribe, N-O-M. So we had lots of different adventures, made alliances, fought hostile creatures, found treasure, found a lot of books that we were able to sell. Not magical books, but regular books. So anyway, back on the languages. So now when I play a new character, I max out all the languages they have. And if there's a particular language I know is going to come into play, I make sure to have a character that knows that particular language. Oh, wow. Looking at Elrad's wife, an NPC, she was not a classed individual, but she too has an intelligence of 17 and a wisdom of 18. And his henchmen had varying scores. Some 16s in there. 17 for one. So not too bad of rolls on those. Lots of familiars. Alaric's familiar is a toad. Elrad's familiar is a hawk. This isn't very exciting. I was just excited to find all these sheets and see all these different names. And these are sheets that I typed up off of my original handwritten character sheets that I threw away once I got them typed up because they were very faded, a lot of pencil. But I've still got several other character sheets that I forgot I had. Not as memorable characters because didn't play very much. And some I remember the character, but I'd forgotten the name. I've still got quite a few to go since I found my little notebook here that I keep all that old stuff in. And it was actually easier to get to than I was afraid it was because I forgot where I put it. Right in plain sight on my shelves with all my other role-playing books. Several things come to mind. My brother wouldn't let me just buy a ship. I had to have one built. And so that took a long time and whatnot. And finally had it. And it was so that we didn't have to keep booking passage. We could just go where we wanted, when we wanted, and even do some trade to help earn some funds. We had the allies with the Nom tribe, because Elrad married the chief's daughter, and he learned the tribe's language. And they helped him out by fighting the creatures around the island that were threatening them and greatly improved the tribe's lot in life. And they helped us out with, there were some ruins or something on the island. I wish I could remember. That's been about 30 years ago. So some of the details of some of this stuff is a little fuzzy. Not like Griswold, who I played for so long and so intensely at times that I can remember things about his adventures that I doubt I'll ever forget. And then with the languages, we just didn't use those as effectively as we could have. And that's, I guess, lack of experience in play, lack of imagination. Because with Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, you had so many languages that you could learn as a human based on your intelligence, whereas all the non-human races had a long list of languages and could potentially learn one or two more if they had high enough intelligence, which I thought that was really kind of weird, and I would house rule that a little differently nowadays, that you're not going to be speaking all these different languages, and I would simplify it. Why keep track of all these different languages? Why does every creature have its own unique language? That's something else that I've often thought about. Now, druid language, that makes sense. Thieves can't, that makes sense. Certain classes having their own special language for doing their class-based things. But why do goblins and orcs and ogres all have a different language? Why not have common be something that they can speak, or have some evil language that they all speak? I think 5e and other newer versions of D&D have gone that way. I guess there's languages that larger blocks of creatures speak, so that not each type of creature has its own language. In the real world, yes, there were small pockets of people that had languages that nobody outside that pocket would speak very often. At a certain point of realism, it's too much in my book. It's got to be smoother and easier to adjudicate. I'd say it'd be easier to have regional phrases be different. One idea I really like that I had is have goblin in the place where the characters start mean a goblin. But in some new area they come to, it actually means ogre. And the people are all talking about how fearsome ogres are, and the party don't understand until they finally meet a local goblin, and it's actually an ogre. That could be a lot of fun. So I had a lot of fun playing Elrad back in the day. Because it was so long ago, I don't remember many of the specifics, but it would be fun to get the gang back together. I'm sure my brother remembers who all was involved. Bob, Ted, Ross, Daryl, Randall, our brother Kent, maybe some others. And it's always fun to open up a new area of your campaign that's so far removed from the other area that the characters won't run into each other easily. It's a way to let the game master flesh out things. I've done that in my own campaign. My in-person campaign with my sons and their friends is in one area, and the new campaign area I opened up on Roll20 is quite a distance away, and very difficult for the players in both groups to ever be in the same area at the same time, assuming they're even on the same timeline. So that's one thing you can learn by playing even with the same game master in the same campaign, but a different area. The more you play and the more scenarios you run into, the more ideas it gives you for how you might do your own campaign world and the games therein. It's been a little walk down memory lane just finding that folder. I've got several more characters in there than I realized. The thing is, they're not all memorable. Some of them I'm like, who's this character? So I obviously rolled up some characters to do something and then we didn't do anything with them. Or we maybe got started and had one session. That was another common thing back in the day. We'd get started with doing something and we'd get interrupted or something would happen and we wouldn't get back to that story for whatever the reason. So I have quite the collection of other old characters to talk about on Tuesday Tales. I may just have an episode on the not-so-memorable characters I've played. I have to think about that. But it was pretty exciting to find that folder. One of the few things that survived a water leak that wiped out most of my game collection a long time ago. I've got my AD&D collection built back up, and through drive-through RPG and other expensive acquisitions built up most of my collection. I'm not as worried about building up absolutely all of my collection. There were some games I bought and just never played because I couldn't get anybody interested in, and I'm not really interested in playing those games because I didn't really have a connection with them back in the day. I am more interested in trying to play what I already have, playing new games and playing with new people and playing in new places. But I'm curious, if you're a longtime player, do you have all of your old characters? I know I don't have all of mine. Do you remember all of your characters? Do you remember your first character? I sure don't remember my first. I think it was a halfling, but I don't know. I don't have the sheet for that. I have no idea what happened to it. It was lost long before that water leak. So there's my Tuesday Tales for today. Elrad Q. Huddleston. A bit of a ramble. I had a lot of fun going through that notebook. I'll have time to go through it now that I know exactly where it is. It'll be a lot easier to go through the rest of it and have more discussion. So if you have any thoughts you'd like to share about any of your tales of your characters or so forth, please call in and share. And if you have any topics you'd like me to touch on for my Saturday scrawl or my Thursday thoughts, please let me know. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen today. And game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening. And game on.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.